Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 9 of the Perfect Bracket College Basketball Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at OnePerfectBracket. That's the number one, OnePerfectBracket. I'm just continuing to do a few episodes as the season comes quickly approaching. And today I am jumping in to talk about how defending champions have performed the following season. Again, I was just kind of thinking of a topic and going through last year's bracket, and I thought about how, like, I had been really disappointed in North Carolina's second round loss to Texas A&M. I had really liked North Carolina's team. Part of me had considered that it would be tough for them to repeat as national champions, so I didn't necessarily expect that. But I just thought they had a really strong team. I love Joel Berry, Luke May, Theo Pinson. I just thought they were very balanced, and I mean, they were the 8th-ranked KenPom team, and obviously that tournament defeat was an upset. But it just got me thinking, like, you know, logically speaking, you know, it's hard to repeat. You know, that's generally, in any sport, is something that's regarded as difficult. But I wanted to see if it's really played out that way in college basketball. And I wanted to look at not only whether teams have repeated as national champions, which obviously doesn't happen very often, but I also wanted to see how well teams do in the tournament, if they get there at all. Are they losing really early? Are they performing to about expectations? So I decided to dive in and look at that. And, you know, initially, like, my other thought was, okay, well, what happened the prior year before North Carolina? Villanova was trying to defend as national champions, and they lost in the round of 32 also. So I thought, oh, that's back-to-back years where the national champion has lost in the round of 32, UNC, then Villanova, when they lost to Wisconsin. So I went back all the way to 2003, and I found that... 91% of the defending champs that actually made the tournament didn't make it past the Sweet 16. So another way to phrase this, overall, looking at the results, there were 4 teams defending champs that didn't make the tournament the following season. There's 1 team that lost in the first round. There were 4 that lost in the round of 32, 5 that lost in the Sweet 16, and one that actually won the national champion. And that was perhaps the outlier in Florida that actually did repeat as national champs. So 91% of the teams that made the tournament didn't make it past the Sweet 16. Florida was the only one that made it past the Sweet 16, which, like, had me thinking, okay, maybe, you know, these teams can win a few games, but typically as a defending national champ, you're not going to make that same deep tournament run. It could just be coincidence, or there could be something to that. You know, is it hard? There's obviously a big target on your back when that's the case. Is it hard to kind of garner up the same kind of intensity, even if there is still a lot of intensity? Is there something just difficult about that? So obviously those results themselves could be given more context. So there were three of these defending champs were 1 seeds the following season. And one of them won the national, repeated as champs in Florida. One advanced to the Sweet 16, and one advanced and lost in the round of 32. There were two seeds that were defending national champs, and both lost in the round of 32. There were three seeds that were defending national champs, 2 advanced to the Sweet 16, and 1 advanced and lost in the round of 32. There was 1 4 seed that advanced to the Sweet 16 and lost there. There was 1 5 seed that made it to the Sweet 16, and there was 1 9 seed that lost in the first round. So again, to sum that up, 91% of the tournament did not make it past the Sweet 16. So again, that's something to keep in mind. Obviously, repeating is difficult, and the numbers have borne that out. And going into this season, you know, even without taking this data into account, Villanova, I think they're either the 5th or 6th ranked team coming into the preseason. I like their team, but I don't love them. Obviously, I feel like they're probably a little overrated based on that ranking. So that would kind of support my logic. And so this would kind of support that I would not be wrong to think that they probably are not going to make an Elite 8 run to the tournament this season. I would probably cap them out with the Sweet 16. Obviously, that all depends on matchups, but at least heading into the season, that's probably what my mindset's going to be. So the one other topic I had today was focused on looking at kind of what teams coming into the season or could kind of be considered bounce back teams. Now, this is something that I'm yet to really fully determine how much predictive success this has in terms of looking to see who's going to end up winning in the tournament, but something that nonetheless I find interesting and relevant enough to look into. So basically what I like to do is look at which teams lost in the tournament in the first round of the tournament last season, and look at those teams and see, okay, which one of those teams have a good chance to make it back to the tournament this season, and which one of those teams not only lost, but lost in disappointing fashion, in the sense that they would really want to be motivated to come back and win this season. And I also look to see which, if any, teams lost in the first round of the tournament back-to-back seasons, so they would be in particular motivated to at least get a tournament win this season. I also looked at just general tournament disappointments to see which teams might, you know, have really been, and again, every team, of course, wants to win. Every team wants to win games in the tournament, but which team could have a little extra juice that could help them out going throughout the season. So here we go. So really quick, here's the first round losers from last season. Radford, Virginia Tech, Murray State, Wichita State, St. Bonaventure, UCLA, which was in the first four, Stephen F. Austin, Arkansas, Cal State Fullerton, Texas Southern, Missouri, South Dakota State, UNC Greensboro, Montana, San Diego State, Providence, Lipscomb, Penn, NC State, New Mexico State, Charleston, Bucknell, TCU, Arizona State in the first four, Oklahoma, Iona, Virginia, Creighton, Davidson, Arizona, Wright State, Miami, Texas, and Georgia State. Whew, there you go. Okay, so now in terms of what teams, there's a lot of teams there, and I'm just going to jump right now to the teams that actually have lost back-to-back first-round NCAA tournament games. And that's Virginia Tech, who brings back a lot of guys, a lot of talent this season, and I expect them to be, like, you know, a ranked team throughout the season. And I feel very confident that they're going to at least get one win this season. I really like this team. They're very deep balanced. Justin Robinson, Chris Clark, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. They got a lot of Kenny Blackshear. They got a lot of talent on that team, and I think they will break that streak. New Mexico State's lost back to back. Had back to back first round losses. They were really good, earning a 12 seed last season, but their two, Zach Lofton and Jamario Jones, were the two best players, and I believe both of them have graduated and are no longer on the team. So I do not have as high hopes for them. South Dakota State got Mike Dom to return, and they lost as a 16 seed 2 years ago and lost as a 12 seed last year to Ohio State, and they've got some good returning talent as well. David Jenkins is kind of the Robin to Dom's Batman, and they're an example of another team, along with Virginia Tech, that I have high hopes for to at least earn a tournament win. They've been really striving for a tournament win for a while with this. Dom's been there 4 years. I feel like he gets them a win in March. Bucknell lost back-to-back first-round tournament games. They were very talented last season. They were 14 seed, I believe. I actually really like their team. They had a tough matchup in Michigan State. Actually gave them a tough game. They lost a lot of talent. Zach Thomas, they lost, was their best player, and I don't have as high hopes for them. Miami has lost back-to-back tournament games. They lost to Michigan State 2 years ago, and they lost Loyola last year. They lose Lonnie Walker. They have a decent amount of talent this season. They bring in, I forget his name, a transfer from Florida Gulf Coast. They got DeJuan Hewell's back, Zundu's back. They've got some good talent. I'm not quite as high on them as I am for Virginia Tech and South Dakota State. Although Miami would probably fare better in rankings than South Dakota State, for example, but I have to wait and see on them. But, and they also don't have quite as many returning players that would kind of build up that motivation factor from the back-to-back tournament losses, but we'll see. Texas Southern, don't have much to say on them. They have back-to-back tournament losses. We'll see. Don't know too much about them. Creighton, back-to-back tournament losses. They lose a lot as well. I like their team. We'll see kind of how it shapes out. They got Tyshawn Alexander. They got Balak is good. And they bring back, I'm blanking on his name, the guy who was out with an injury, who a big man who's actually I really like. They're probably going to take a step back this year as well. And I also wanted to throw in Vermont, because even though they didn't make it to the tournament last season, they actually lost to UMBC in the in their conference championship game. But they, I just wanted to throw them in because I really like them, and they still got some talent on that team with Anthony Lamb returning. And I think that almost for them feels like they have had back-to-back tournament losses, because last year they were so close and they had a lot of talent. They lose Trey Bell Haynes, but I still think they're worth keeping an eye on. In terms of some other tournament disappointments from last season, that although they won first-round tournament games, Xavier lost the round of 32, UNC, as I touched on in another part of the podcast, lost in the round of 32. Auburn lost in the round of 32, along with Michigan State, Tennessee, Cincinnati, and Gonzaga made it to the Sweet 16, but they lost to Florida State, and they really missed an opportunity to make a Final Four run. Out of those teams, Xavier, I expect to take a step back. North Carolina, I think, could have a nice bounce back season. They bring back a lot of talent, and I think they're disappointed. It's hard for them to repeat, like, coming off as the defending national champs, but now I think they have had time to regroup. Michigan State, they lose Miles Bridges, Jaren Jackson, but they still got some talent. I think they'll be motivated to, it could be one of those times where they actually lose some talent. It seems like they're not as quite as good of a team, but they actually have a better tournament run. They still got Cassius Winston, Josh Langford, Nick Ward. There's still some there. Tennessee's a team I love. They bring, like, everyone back. They had a tough loss to Loyola in the tournament, where Kyle Alexander was out. I feel like that team could have very easily made a Final Four run. I think they were good enough to do it. It just didn't quite work out. They're really scary. Cincinnati, apparently it's going to be still competitive in the American Athletic Conference, but don't. And they had a disappointing loss to Nevada. I'm not quite as high on them. And then Gonzaga, I mentioned, had the Florida State loss, and they bring back a ton of talent, kind of in the same mold as Tennessee as well. I really like that team. So just some teams to keep an eye on. Teams that are burning back a lot of talent, teams that should have very high motivation and a lot of, you know, experience and continuity to build upon, along with real motivation factors, which, you know, are intangible and hard to quantify, in my mind, are worth keeping an eye on. Okay. So that's the podcast. Again, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @OnePerfectBracket, and I'll be coming out with another one soon. Hope you enjoyed it.